Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us much to be thankful about. Ever since the 2000 presidential election, with those infamous hanging chads, more and more political campaigns, it seems, have been demanding a recount after elections. In fact, allegations of voter fraud are on the rise because many of these contests are very tightly debated. Even 8 years after the fact, there are some who still insist that Al Gore actually won the 2000 election and that stole the election through voter fraud. In the most recent 2008 elections, the voter registration group Acorn raised similar concerns when it was discovered that they had registered fictional Disney characters in Florida and the entire Dallas Cowboy football team in Utah, though none of those players lived in that state. After weeks, there is still one election that is left contested between Norm Coleman and Al Franken in the Minnesota Senate race, and there is less than 2,000 votes or 200 votes between them, and new uncounted ballots keep suspiciously appearing, raising questions about the integrity of our election process. With growing allegations and counter-allegations from the Democrats and the Republicans over voter fraud, the term demanding a recount has become sort of part of our nation's new vocabulary. Well, what does all this have to do with Thanksgiving Day? When talking about Thanksgiving Day, Christians almost always talk about counting their blessings which come from God. But I sometimes wonder if we have really counted all of God's blessings when we add up what it is that we have to be thankful for. And I was thinking, along with the spirit of politics, that maybe God himself should demand a recount as we count his blessings this Thanksgiving Day. For I believe that many of us fail to recognize just everything that God does to sustain our lives and to make our lives joyous. For various reasons, we Christians sometimes forget to thank God for some of his blessings. And I believe this is because there are blessings that are seen and there are blessings that are unseen. Some of God's blessings are just too obvious, and every Christian should know them. Luther listed some of them in the Catechism, that God gives us house and home, wife and children, strength and intellect. He gives us employment and possessions. But other blessings are far less obvious, and sometimes they go uncounted among us. Let me offer some reasons why I think that all of God's blessings rarely get counted. We often fail to recognize that God is the one blessing us because God chooses to work behind the scenes. God chooses to work through human means. And what I mean by that is God often works his supernatural will for us through ordinary people and events in our lives. And because we can't see God in this process, sometimes we credit the people and the events that help us out without ever crediting God. Now, except for the rain that waters the earth, God rarely just drops his blessings from the sky. I don't know about you, but I'm not counting on tomorrow a turkey falling through my roof onto my table. God doesn't do that. He doesn't show up in person when he hands us his blessings. But God works through others in our lives to bless us. Parents, government, police and firemen, doctors and nurses, builders and realtors, lawyers and judges, pastors and teachers, and I'm sorry if I've left out your calling, because these are just some of the people God works through to bless our lives. Tomorrow we will bow our heads around the table in thankfulness as we pray for the Thanksgiving meal that we are going to enjoy. And I hope we realize that although we may have purchased the bird and cooked the meal, that God still provided the job that paid for it, the grocery store that stocked it, the family and friends that are gathered around our table to share it, our employer who gave us the time off to enjoy it, the skills needed to cook it, and everything else that will turn tomorrow into a blessing. The secular world, however, believes there is no God and it has no one to thank. And with no one to thank, there is no real reason to celebrate Thanksgiving Day, at least not as it was originally celebrated by the pilgrims. From the secular perspective, things in life don't happen because of God. They happen randomly and by chance without God's input. Modernists attribute everything to natural causes instead of believing that God has a plan and a purpose that is at work in our lives. The Plymouth Pilgrim settlers, however, who celebrated the first Thanksgiving, knew not only that God exists, but that God is gracious, that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift that you and I enjoy. And they had God to thank for their very survival. I fear that because we live in a secular world, that Thanksgiving Day is rapidly losing its religious significance. Thanksgiving Day has largely turned into a day where we watch football, we eat until we are stuffed, and then, of course, we take that famous afternoon nap. And while I want to tell you that food and football and even that nap are gifts from God, and you can gratefully enjoy those things tomorrow, without faith, we will not be able to reflect on God's grace and goodness in Christ. And so what happens for people of the world is that Thanksgiving Day has essentially been reduced to Turkey Day. Just another day off, like Martin Luther King's birthday or whatever, in which we Christians rarely use this day any longer as time to reflect upon all the blessings that God gives. Luther was once asked to summarize Christianity in one short sentence, and that's pretty hard to do. And it could be done in a number of ways, but here's what he said. He said, "Religion, when it comes down to its essence, is a religion of gratitude." What he meant by that is that God in Christ is the giver of every blessing. We receive every blessing just because of God's grace and his goodness. And so as Christians, we know that it is God who does all the active giving, and we are the ones that rejoice and do all the passive receiving of his love, his blessings, and we are the beneficiaries with much to be thankful for. Thanksgiving Day is great. But as Christians, we don't just celebrate a day of Thanksgiving, for we are a people of Thanksgiving. We are thankful every day, and we are continually expressing gratitude to God for what He has done for us in Christ and for what He is still doing. People without faith claim they don't need God. They claim that they have excelled in life due to their own talent and hard work, not because there is some God out there who has blessed them. And because we live in this secular world, sometimes we Christians fall into that trap of pride, of believing that we are responsible for our own success. After all, we think to ourselves, we make our plans. We work hard to achieve our goals. And yet, my friends, we must always remember that no matter how much we plan or how hard we work, God is still ultimately the one responsible for any and all success. And if you don't believe that, then I would ask this simple question. What talents and what abilities do you have that God hasn't given you? There is another modern myth that keeps us from being a thankful people. This is a rather dangerous one, and it is the notion that we are entitled to all of these blessings in the first place. I think that maybe comes from the Constitution, which is a wonderful document, but remember, it gives us the right to pursue happiness. But my friends, there is nowhere in life where we are promised that we are entitled to happiness. If we think God already owes us everything, then we're not going to thank God. We're going to expect things from God. And instead of being thankful, what's going to happen is we are going to complain when life does not live up to our expectations. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't want you to be happy, but I do believe that God in His wisdom knows that there are things even more important than short-term happiness. Who of us would count suffering in this life as a blessing? And yet God often allows suffering to enter our life to test our faith and to cause it to grow. And yet if you don't have faith, that's not going to make any sense to you that being sad could actually become a hidden blessing. That's why I chose the text from Job. Think about Job. Did Job have anything to be thankful for? Job is the epitome of suffering. Job was pathetic. He had almost lost everything. His children, his flocks and herds, his home, his reputation and honor, his health. And yet Job says in faith, and thankfully he says, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return. For the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away." And what he means to imply is that doesn't change a thing, because blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, Job is still able to give God thanks and praise, even as he's going through this personal hell of his. Job's wife was a different story. She hadn't handled things quite so well. And at one point, when Job is laying there with sores all over his body and in suffering, his wife cynically comes up and says, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" And yet, in the midst of suffering, God blessed Job. He blessed Job with perseverance, another of God's hidden blessings. Job would speak of Christ. He would say something that we say at virtually every funeral. He said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and even though I die, yet I will live again to see God in the flesh." Job was confessing the resurrection, that after the suffering was over, there was still much to be joyful about. You know, there is sort of an irony that suffering and adversity somehow seem important to thankfulness, because adversity actually has a way of making us grateful and thankful. And perhaps we Americans are not as thankful as we once were because we've just had it too good. Adversity and suffering are responsible for many of those uncounted blessings in our lives. You see, God refines our faith through the crucible of suffering. God gives us spiritual gifts of humility and patience and long-suffering after prolonged periods of suffering. And you must not forget how Thanksgiving originated. The pilgrims only decided to dedicate a day of Thanksgiving to God after they had lived through the most harsh years of deprivation, after many in their colony were dead, and after they had survived under the most strenuous and horrific conditions. You can't count blessings correctly if you can't identify what is a blessing and what is not a blessing. Most of us would not count suffering as a blessing unless the Holy Spirit opens the eyes of our hearts. We would see the cross, for instance, only as a curse. And yet, with the wisdom of the gospel, when God's Son suffered upon the cross in your place, his death achieved the very greatest blessing in your life, the thing you have most to be thankful for. In a world that not only believes in what it's, that only believes in what it sees, the cross isn't seen as a blessing, it's seen as weakness. And yet, if we're going to really have a recount of spiritual blessings, we will want to place those spiritual blessings at the very top of the list. For my friends, we have the greatest blessings. In fact, Luther said, wealth and money were the least of God's blessings. But we have the greater blessings of forgiveness and life and salvation in Christ's name and for his sake. Job knew that Satan would strip him of all earthly wealth and dignity and pride and peace. But he also knew that no one could take away God's love for him in Christ. The blessing of knowing this while we are suffering means more to us than all the treasure in the world combined. And it was able to make Job thankful. There's an old proverb that hunger makes the best cook, meaning that if you're hungry enough, anything tastes good. And I believe the same applies to thankfulness. Sometimes it's only after you've been forced to live without something, after you've been deprived of something and it's been restored to you, that you realize just how valuable it is. Health is a good example. We often live healthy lives for years, without paying little thanks to God. But then after a short period of suffering, we begin to treasure the blessing of health as never before. In the same way, we Christians are thankful because we know that we deserve none of God's blessings, and we deserve God's peace least of all. But forgiveness that we receive through faith in Jesus becomes the greatest blessing. Only after we have lived with guilt and in the pains of conscience. The final problem is that as people, we soon forget the blessings that have come before. Sin makes us forget what God has done for us in the past. You see, as sinners, we have short memories. The Israelites were the same way. And so they always remembered God's great saving deeds and actions to help his people in the past, so they would not forget. We live in a generation that soon forgets the favors that have been done for us in the past. In fact, the modern mantra is, "What have you done for me lately?" But if you are going to be thankful, grateful people of God, do not forget God's past kindnesses. They count too. It's not just about what God can do for you right now in the present, but it is the memory of God's past blessings that sustains us. It is the evidence of his present blessings that encourage us. And it is the promise of his future blessings that gives us hope. For you see, if we're going to count all of God's blessings, we need to realize that those blessings are found in the past, the present, and in the future. In our recounting of all God's blessings in Christ, not one of them should be left out. For God's grace in Christ extends not only on Thanksgiving, but throughout our lives until we reach our home in heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.